baby on last resort. We know this for sure. We're gonna talk sports. Because football's back and the Cowboys play this Sunday. Oh, and Zeke is still holding out. Get it over with. Also, we're gonna talk stars. Because Owen wants more hockey talk. And Bruce thinks they should do football. And Kat said you guys had one job. To fill in when tier one is gone. Last three. Sort with Owen and Bruce today. So lace up your skates. We'll sing Baby Shark. And we will talk sports. Oh, baby, on last resort. We know this for sure. You're gonna want more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bravo, Margo.
Thank you.
That was fantastic.
Welcome, everybody, to The Last Resort. Filling in today for a weird combination of the Musers and the Normandy Invasion. This is our Labor Day dry dock from 9 to noon here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. Before we introduce ourselves, that was Margo Mir. She is producing us today from, of course, the emotional baggage fame and also Dallas Stars radio broadcast right here on The Ticket.
Shout out.
So I'm Owen Newkirk. He's Bruce Levine. Margo is our producer today. And of course, we have Chris and Russell. Chris on the board. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all?
We're doing well. We have Russell, who's doing tickers today. Russell, have you ever done top 40 radio at all? I don't know, Bruce, if you've diagnosed or scrutinized Russell's tickers at all. He has sort of a classic radio sound that could almost be like, you know, filling in for Casey Kasem back in the day. I know that's dating me, but.
But I did listen to him all the time.
You definitely have a smoothness to you that could easily be, you know, coming up on the countdown kind of thing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
By the way, I was impressed. Margo did that live.
Yes.
Yeah. Not recorded.
Oh, no.
That was live.
We were trying not to mess her up by making eye contact.
No, ever since Mino did the Baby Shark live, the bar for doing the theme song for this show has gotten to a higher and higher level. And I think Margo now sits as the leaderboard, is on the clubhouse leader.
I think so, too.
By the way,
number one.
Wonderful effort there. Really, really great. Now
it came to me late last night, so that's why I did it live.
And to use an alt rock tune.
I love it.
That wasn't easy to do.
Well, here's the thing. The only problem with the ones that we've had, and these are great, by the way, is that they're specific to like that actual show. For example, we can't keep playing Minos if we're not doing the bad radio slot because he referenced that. And then, of course, Julie Dobbs was there doing tickers that day, so he referenced her.
Maybe
so,
you need more poop talk.
Exactly. So now we have, again, this instance where we're definitely not tier one, so that's okay, right? We could keep going with that. But the lyrics were phenomenal. Well done. Problem is now you have to do it live every time. Right? That's what I mean. Is you can't recycle this very easily.
True.
So, but I love the Strokes tune. That I knew what it was. You said, do you know that song? I blanked, but as soon as I heard it.
I was hoping someone would get it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, completely. I've got alt radio on my Pandora, which I know isn't Spotify, so I'm not cool. But that song pops up at least once a week.
Okay, good.
So the minute you did it, I was like, wow, Margo has dug into the archives and she just nailed this.
There's nothing wrong with using Pandora.
Well, my kids tell me that Spotify is the way to go.
Well, I mean, it's sort of the hip thing, but that doesn't mean we can't use it.
According to my kids, nothing I do is hip. So
now you can't even try with them.
Yeah. I'm out of the box on that.
You know, we have a great show today. At least we think so. We're excited because we are going to talk Dallas Stars, and we're going to be joined by special guest and one of our really good friends, Brent Severin, former NHLer and, of course, longtime Stars TV broadcaster, part of Stars Live. He'll join us at 10:30 to talk about Dallas Stars. We are less than 2 weeks away from training camp beginning, so getting around the corner on that. And Margo is going to be heavily involved, as we always like to interact with Margo during our Stars broadcast, so we are, of course, keeping her very much busy today. She'll spearhead our current event segment and Margo's mystery bag, which we don't know what's going to come out of that. But there's a lot of football on the plate, and so we have a lot of that. College football weekend, we will recap that because there was a lot and some really goofy stuff involved in the first week back of college football. The first full week, they played one game before the Miami game, but we'll get to that. And, of course, we can't not talk about the Cowboys. They open up week one against the Giants. That'll be coming up at 9:30. Interesting NFL quarterback debate that we're going to have, both about rising players and also bounce backers. That'll be at 9:50. And then we are going to – I'm not a big fan of making predictions right before the season because they usually are wrong, but we're going to try to do that, Bruce, at 11:10.
I think we need to caveat the prediction segment with the
– we don't know what we're talking
about. Well, not only do we know what we're talking about, but every team in the NFL is one injury away from completely sucking.
Oh, my goodness.
And being a top five draft candidate. Except for Miami, who is going to suck no matter what happens.
That's the biggest take, is that that you say, well, you know, this team looks pretty good as long as they don't get hurt.
Right, one injury. I mean, except for the Patriots. You know that Belichick will find a way. If Tom Brady gets hurt, and I know you don't want that to happen.
Jared Stidham looks pretty solid.
They will find a way to somehow buckle through. But every other team, you look at the Packers 2 years ago when they were off to that fantastic start, and then Rodgers gets his shoulder broken, and they stink, and they have not been good since. Every team won away. So we'll make these predictions with the caveat that with the lineup they have on opening day standing basically intact throughout the season.
You know, this is Labor Day, though, so before we get into the football part of it, unless football is really that much into it, you know, we're celebrating workers, people that labor for a living. I don't know if we would call this labor, maybe labor of love, but do you have any bad jobs in your history that you regret? Not, I don't know.
I wouldn't say regret.
But just so, man, I'm really glad I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, I have a job that comes with a great story.
Okay.
When people ask about it. When I was in high school, back in New York, back in the day, the economy wasn't great. So adults worked at the mall. It wasn't like now where you got teenagers working at the mall, at the Gap, whatever. There were like full-grown adults working at the mall to help ends meet. Fast food belonged to teenagers, to high school kids, that could work year-round. They weren't involved in any extracurricular sports or anything, so they could be counted on to flip burgers for 8 to 9 months, which left a very narrow window of things you could do. During my high school years, I was lucky to have the experience of being a clammer, one who goes and gets clams for a living. Now, Great South Bay in New York was the world's most predominant producer of hard-shell clams, or as we call them in the business, quahogs. Not to be, if you ever know some Family Guy.
Of course, they call it quahog.
Quahog.
Yep.
And you notice the bar is?
It's the
friendly clam?
They call it the clam for short.
It's
the something clam.
Right.
What is it now?
That's the quahog reference.
I gotta look it up.
The quahog reference.
Yep.
So basically, it consists of getting up at 5 in the morning, getting driven a mile, about an hour out to the east end of Long Island.
It's the drunken clam. How did we not remember that? That's terrible.
But again, it's a quahog reference.
Yeah.
You put on dress socks so that your feet do not get cut, but there's not enough padding between your feet and the clam to feel the clam. You jump
because you can't wear rubber boots or Wellingtons,
right,
as they call them.
This is not the people raking clams. You have to go out. And
those would be clam diggers.
Right.
I grew up in Maine. There's a lot of that where they take basically a big pitchfork rake and just scoop.
And they have amazing forearms.
Yes.
Just amazing. So what happens is you put on the dress socks. It's about 75 degrees. You jump into freezing cold water and sink to your knees in muck. Then you spend the next 8 to 10 hours, it's called treading. Basically, it's jogging 6 to 4 inches at a time, hoping to step on something that feels like a rock. If it feels like a rock, you reach your arm down, usually sticking your head in the water, reach down and grab it. It's a clam. And if it's a big enough clam to pass inspection, you put it in your basket, and you have made 5 cents.
Wow.
You don't get paid by the hour. So basically, you spend 8 to 10 hours jogging around Great South Bay hoping to step on clams. Some days...
and not cut your feet.
Right. Some days you make $10. Some days you make $50. It's just a crapshoot. But that was a job I did for 2 summers.
If you adjusted for modern inflation, what do you think that would be the financial equivalent of today?
10 cents.
You think it's that much? So you make $100 a day as a good day?
If you were lucky, it was a great day.
But you're talking about, and we're not afraid to date you at this point. We're talking about what, the late 80s or early
80s? Mid-80s, yeah.
So if you made $50 a day in the 80s, that's a lot more than $50 today.
Caveat.
Yeah.
I made it once.
Okay.
That's the high end. That's the super high end.
But if you made $10 back then, you're feeling good.
No, you're not.
No,
you want people were making. Well, we got to remember people were at Burger King making $3.35 an hour.
Right.
So if they were working 8 hours, they were guaranteed $30.
Okay, so that doesn't sound like a very good job.
And they got to bring home free food. Meanwhile, you're out there, but you're so low on the bottom.
Yeah, you're getting exercise, and vitamin D. You're outside,
but you're on the bottom
and
of the food
chain.
You get
to swim.
You did not want to swim in that. You did not want to swim in the muck. But you're at the bottom of the food chain, so you're taking your clam and selling it, getting 5 cents a clam. You're then selling it to the guy with the clamming license for 5 cents. He's turning around and selling it to the distributor for 25 cents a clam, who in turn is selling it to the restaurant for 50 cents a clam, who is selling it for $1, you know, for $10 for a dozen. I now know how the people who make Nikes feel. That's where you were in life. You were at so far at the bottom of the food chain that your 5 cents did not add up to the end result, which was, you know, $10 a dozen. And to this day, I will not eat clams.
Wow. You know, I didn't have to step on seafood when I was in high school, but
as far as you knew.
Yeah, it's true. But I did work in construction once, and there were times where I really enjoyed it. Very rewarding, you know, hard days, an honest day's work. But the one thing I was surprised at as being a grunt laborer working in construction was demolition was fun for a little while. And then after a while, it gets very repetitive and ripping things apart. I'm not that stressed out of a guy. I didn't have a lot of things I needed to take my anger issues out on. So you do it for a while, but then, you know, taking down sheetrock is fun for a bit. You get to use a sledgehammer.
Did you have to wear the mask? Was this pre knowing that if you inhale stuff, it's bad for you?
I knew well enough that I didn't want to inhale. I mean, again, this isn't asbestos that we're talking about. We're talking about sheetrock or drywall. But again, you don't really want to have drywall in your lungs if you can help it. So I always wore one of those little breathing masks, not the one with the filters, just a little like surgical looking mask. But Bruce, I had to take up this tile floor in this one job that we were working on with a chipping hammer, right? It's like a mini powered hammer that has a little blade in each. So I basically spent the entire day bent over at the waist.
Ooh.
And let me tell you, even in it was a lot younger than I am now. So, you know, you bounce back from that quicker. The back pain and fatigue you feel from being in a prone position like that, scraping and taking up stubborn floor tiles for an entire day, made me feel like I was 85.
See, I've done that.
That was miserable.
Scraping the tiles off. What's even worse is they used to put carpet down. They used to glue carpet down to the floor.
Oh, I've been there.
And you have to they have the carpet vapor like the steam. And then you have to get your chisel and like scrub
and
underneath
it. Doesn't come up well.
Yeah, it never.
Some carpet's supposed to roll right off.
It doesn't happen.
Have we
evolved in carpet laying?
It's been a while since I was in the business.
I think we have.
I mean, I had to do an entire office that had a fire, so they had to get rid of all the carpets because they were trying to get all the smoke smell out. Utility knife, cut strips, and try to rip, and it was like every 6 inches it wouldn't move.
And by the way,
awful.
I do want to caveat this with people who say, well, you worked in minor league hockey, you had all those bus rides. Wasn't that awful? The answer is no. Well, there were moments, but when you look back on it, actually being on a bus and broadcasting and carrying gear compared to clamming is fun.
Yeah.
It really, you look back, you make a lot
of
friends.
I'll sit on a bus for 19 hours as opposed to chipping away stubborn floor tiles for a week.
Right. So workers of America, we salute you.
Margo, Chris, Russ, aside from working it for Q, no, I'm just kidding.
Aside from being dry dock performers.
Any worse jobs out there? You guys want to one-up us at all?
Not really. I mean, I just waited tables for a few years in college, but
at upscale
days.
Upscale or like at a Waffle House or something, Shoney's,
somewhere in between.
Yeah, somewhere in between.
All right, you went from the 5-star Michelin rated to the Waffle House. I mean, that's a pretty broad spectrum, isn't it? Yeah,
you know, I don't think.
I bet you they're good and bad days.
I know waitressing can't be easy, but your level of tip. I got to think it's just as hard to waitress at a Shoney's as it is at a Outback or something like that. But your level of tips is so different.
I would think that working at a really fine dining restaurant where the prices are so high that even a 10% tip is a big deal.
Oh, yeah. People work there. People make good money.
Yeah. I mean, we almost call them professional servers.
But from what I understand, though, they have to work their way up. It becomes you have to have a tryout and meet with manager and owners to find if you have the caliber To deliver.
I would like to suggest that working at a fine dining restaurant is not the same as working at an Outback Steakhouse.
No, or a Shoney's. I mean, yes. you could walk out
or
in
a Waffle House.
Yeah. But I would think it would be just as difficult, but the tip level is so high that it makes it worth it.
Anybody else want to weigh in on this stellar debate?
My worst was probably just being a Chinese delivery kid.
Oh.
That's it, though.
Did you ride a bike or a...
No.
Did you have a time limit? Driving. You have to get there by a certain time or it's free?
No. Thank God, no. So I mean,
like the pizza delivery, what 30 city, minutes or less?
What city was this in?
It was in Rowlett.
How many Chinese restaurants do they have in Rowlett?
I mean, technically, all you need is one.
Like two, yeah, but I'm thinking, not only do they have a minimal amount of Chinese restaurants, but they're also delivered? That's impressive.
Yeah. And it was okay money. I mean, it wasn't like pizza money, but...
Is pizza considered a higher level of delivery than Chinese as far as the money goes?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I
would think it would be the other way
around. There's a segment rating the delivery... the food industry service delivery.
Well, I think if you eat it with a fork, you should get a higher tip than people that just open the box and scarf.
Well, I mean, I think it's also that more people order pizza than Chinese food, so they'd probably get more money off that way.
But I'm still in search of good Chinese food around here. That's maybe another debate for another
day. I'll tell you off camera where, or off air where to go, because we have found, my wife.
Have you?
Found the place.
I'm excited.
A location that is just amazing. Well,
and this is coming from a guy that grew up in New York where you get phenomenal Chinese food. So, yeah. Anyway.